and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's victory at Forfar, preview the SPFL Trust Trophy tie against Dundee United, and now having played every team in the league once, we review the first quarter. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of Blue Team Podcast. I'm Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Finally got in dried off for Saturday, or the weekend as a whole.
It was a fair washout. I'm sure we'll touch on it later on, but brilliant to see a really good crowd at Forfar, given the travelling conditions and the weather. Just about warm and dried out now.
Yeah, it was pretty cold as well. Some listeners will be pleased to know that the shorts have been retired for the next 6 months because the jeans were looked at for the first time this year. And the waterproofs were out as well.
To be fair, we did comment there was somebody with shorts on the Forfar side on Saturday, and they're in the park actually in the crowd as well, so fair play to that chap for wearing his shorts on a day like that.
Yeah, moron, really. Right, let's get cracking. We should send our congratulations to co-manager Jordan Brown and his partner Lindsay on their birth of their daughter Sophia. Who I think Saturday or Friday, late on Friday night. So congratulations to them. Certainly the rumour mill was kind of spinning quite a bit when the folk realised that Jordan wasn't there, and we were putting two and two together. But obviously it was announced on the Sunday that was the reason why he was there. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like you said the rumour mill was in full go. On Saturday, messages pinging about, but yeah, absolute congratulations to both of them. Absolutely gorgeous name as well, by the way, Sophia. I really like that name. So yeah, hopefully she'll make her debut on Saturday, perhaps. It'll be a lucky charm for Jordan.
That'll be another number onto the already increasing figures at the crowd attendance at Balmoral this season. But no, really good. Really pleased for them both. And as you said, hopefully that... she may well be a regular attendee at Balmoral, but you just get Jordan was keeping one eye on if it was happening on the at Forfar at the same time though.
Oh, aye, absolutely. I'm sure he was fully aware if it was happening at Forfar. Whether his partner was happy with that, we'll find out in due course. But yeah, it's a healthy baby, and that's the main thing. Congratulations to them both.
Yep. So let's go on to Saturday's game at Forfar. It was a difficult day, difficult conditions. I guess this is the advantage of having an all-weather pitch, because there was a lot of games that were being postponed. There was games being postponed actually when we were driving down. So it was good to get the game on. And in the end, I think we pretty much thoroughly deserved the victory again.
Yeah, in credit to Forfar social media team, they put out... We were speaking in the morning, they'd just put out within that couple of minutes before we'd spoken that the game was definitely going ahead, so it was good clarity from them as well. They weren't as sort of indecisive about whether the game would go ahead, so it was pretty clear. And yeah, difficult conditions, but I thought worth, deserved winners. Kind of the Forfar manager McKinnon has got a different opinion of it, going by his comments that we've seen in the media over the last 24 hours, but really thought we were worthy winners. A difficult afternoon, but them are the sort of games that if you've got any hopes of being title contenders, that's the ones that you need to dig out wins in.
Yeah, before we get really dug into the game, mentioned it already about the travelling support. It was fantastic travelling support for in a day that was as bad as it was. It was about 500 plus, I think, was the attendance in Station Park. I reckon 150, 200, maybe more, was Peterhead supporters, which is really good to see.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think somebody in the Forfar side was saying the same on social media, that it's a really good travelling support for Peterhead. And yeah, give, like we said, given the conditions, I think it's tremendous. In fact, even the 4-4 supporters coming as well, quite easy to look at that game and go, no, I don't know, I fancy this today. But no, credit to everyone that attended that game on Saturday.
It was good to see the supporters bus was full as well. We saw the pictures on Facebook. Probably would have gone on the bus ourselves, but with other things on the Saturday morning. So that's why we ended up driving down. It was good to see a full bus. And I think this is a pattern I think we'll see throughout the season. I think when we touched on it a few weeks ago, certainly at the start of the season, you know, the way that the team's now performing, obviously winning games, we're winning in a style as well, and we're starting to see the attendances at home go up. I think we'll see attendances away for him go up as well.
Oh yeah, I'd agree. I think we've spoken about it a few times. There's a feel-good factor in the club just now. We're winning in the park, playing well, and naturally people come to home games and they get a taste for it, and then they go, yeah, I want to go to the away games as well. You know, we've attended a few more this season than we managed to get to last season already. So again, you're just building on that momentum that the players are showing in the park. And it's always been one of them things that we've said, that when you've got a team in the park that's got that hunger and desire to win games, the fans will back them, and 4-4 was a case example of really bad, you know, weather conditions, but there was a full crowd behind them, and you've seen that with the player reactions at the end. They all went over and applauded the support coming down. They realised how important it was, not only for the fans to come down, but also to get the win and go back up the road with.
And it was the noise that they were making as well. We were on the opposite side, but, you know, you could, the noise that was coming from the far side, for the vast majority of the game was good to hear as well, and the route with our flags as well, which is good to see. In the second half, John was across with his Blue Toon fanzine behind the goal, got absolutely soaked, but hey ho, hardly can a couple of cheers standing behind the goal in a day like that. But hey, and that's what it's all about. Back to what you're saying, it's a feel good factor, it's there. There's something to cheer about now. And that's all coming for Ryan Jordan has been working on throughout the summer.
Yeah, they said right when the word go, when they got the job permanently, I think it was maybe one of their first interviews, they said they wanted to go back to basics and get an identity with the club. And I think fans are now seeing that on the park as well. We do have a clear identity. They want to be a passing team. They want to try and play good footback. And to be able to do it like they did against Forfar in difficult conditions, it just shows you that the work that's gone into it. I kind of tried a change of formation, you know, start of the month. It didn't quite work out. But they were quick to realise it, didn't it? And yeah, there's a clear identity. Fans are coming back. They're enjoying what they're watching. And yeah, it's a really good time to be around the club at the moment.
And long may that continue. So it was an unchanged side for the third game in a row. Although if you look at the highlights package, and if you look at the team sheets, it was just a change of lineup. It was a change of names, because on the highlights we were called Shunrar, and on the team sheets we were called Spartans. I don't care how you could get it wrong on both occasions, but there we are. That's 4-4 for you. We got off to a really good start again. I think as again something that's starting to become a bit of a pattern is getting early chances and taking early opportunities. Conor O'Keefe with a great finish after 5 minutes, through ball for McCarthy, and O'Keefe making that run from off the wing, they just happy just to stay out wide, but drifting in and finding some space.
How many times have you said that over the last year? A good finish by Conor O'Keefe. Well, we mentioned it on Saturday. He does the D tap-ins. Yeah, really, really good finish. And you were the first team to mention it on Saturday. But what a great ball through for Andy McCarthy as well. Spotted the run of Conor O'Keefe, as you said, coming in for the left-hand side. Gets himself centre of the goal and, you know, puts it under the keeper's body on his left-hand side. And a really well-worked goal. And yeah, we started the game really quickly. I think that's now a bit of a theme that we're getting. They want to get at teams. They want to be on the front foot. They don't want to be, you know, watching a game passively go by and try to feed our way into it. They want to be, you know, attacking the opposition home and away. And we got the results of it again with another early goal through Conor O'Keefe.
And he didn't just sort of like smash it out or anything like that. It was a pretty cool, calm, collected finish as well, because it'd be easy for him just to try and batter it straight at the goalkeeper, but he's managed to place it and as you said, it didn't give the keeper any opportunity to save it.
so early in the game as well. You can almost forgive him for if he wanted to take a swipe and, you know, maybe he wasn't quite caught it right with the wind and the weather and everything. Could easily have gone well over the bar, but he's taken one touch, and then I think he's taken it a lot quicker than the keeper was expecting him to take it, which is probably why Mark McCallum hasn't quite got himself set properly. And it's not until it's in the back of the net, he's realised, well, he's too late. And yeah, he's caught the keeper unawares, but as you said, it was a good move out from the, you know, corner coming in from the left-hand side. Good touch, and he's put it under the keeper's body.
And the hot start could have really been ramped up again, because 4 minutes later, Jack Brown has a really good opportunity to make it 2-0. Again, Conor O'Keefe highly involved and down the left-hand side, get the cross in, cuts it back to Jack Brown, and he's done well. He's taken a touch, got the shot away with his left foot, but a really good save in the end by McCallum in the goals.
Yeah, I think Jack will maybe be a wee bit disappointed that he hasn't finished it. I count a really good save by McCallum. It's almost sort of right at him, which is maybe the slight frustration, but I think Jack will maybe be disappointed. But good work by Keith getting to the byline, getting the ball across. And Jack took a touch as well, didn't he? With his right foot to then instep with the left. Yeah, and another day Jack scores with that one.
But that's your right winger this time, drifting inside. So they've obviously got sort of free rein that they're allowed to make these runs, that they've got the license to do these kind of things, to make themselves an extra attacker.
Yeah, it was your left winger for your right winger in the box. So I think they've got this freedom to be able to, you know, see how plays developing, but obviously knowing their role in the team, they've got to get involved in helping Shanks and McAllister. They kind of do everything on their own up top. But there's a good fluidity in the team. I think we've got the right balance just now as well, because obviously you've got Joe McKee and Andy McCarthy just sitting, and Andy allowing to break forward when needed. But if you've got them four players up top and doing all the work up there in the attacking sense, then it works. And like I said, there's a good flow to the team as well.
And although it's a 4-4-2, there were times, because we're pressing so high, Conor O'Keefe and Jack Brown's getting so high, it's almost like a 4-2-4 at times. When we didn't have the ball.
Yeah, it becomes almost like a 4-2-4, and I think that's why we're getting so much joy against teams just now, because I wouldn't say it's a really high press, but in the starting positions that the players have got, they're almost like 5-10 yards further ahead of their opposition already. So I think, like I said, that they've got that fluidity. They're allowed to be flexible in their movement. They're allowed to switch wings. And, you know, even McAllister sometimes drops a little bit deeper to get the ball, but he's flicking it on. He's got the options of it might be a Jack Brown, a Conor O'Keefe, or a Kieran Shanks in behind him. And that's difficult for defenders to try and pick up regardless of which team they are.
And I guess because McCarthy and Joe McKee are in the centre midfield roles, their movement and their you know, they can get from side to side pretty quick, up and down as well, so they can cover pretty quickly if there is a gap to be filled in.
Yeah, they've got the pace. Okay, maybe not quite Joe McKee, but certainly Andy McCarthy, Jack Brown and Conor O'Keefe, if they are caught slightly out of position, they've got that ability to get back and defend, which, you know, over the last couple of years, there hasn't been many times that you've got, you know, a trio in midfield or wingers that are able to go forward in an attacking sense, but also be aware that they've got defensive responsibilities. I think we break pretty quick as well, so that if we do win the ball back in midfield, Andy McCarthy, Joe McKee, they know the ball that they're going to be playing before they've actually won the ball back. They know the areas that the players are going to be in. And like I said, I think it gives us a really good balance in trying to win games.
It was 26 minutes before Fofa really tested Stuart McKenzie in the Peterhead goal. Their right back, DT, I think is how you pronounce it, took a shot for the edge of the 18-yard box. Kind of went through a couple of players, but it was a good save, sort of late reactions for McKenzie. Possibly one of those where I think the 4-4 player lets it go through his legs. I wonder if he just kind of touches it, it maybe sort of wrong foots McKenzie and might go in. But he just dummied it and said, obviously to our benefit, because McKenzie's then made the save.
It's one of them, it needs the deftest of touches. Just I think if it's on target and nae at McKenzie, I think it would go in because the pace was on it. But Stuart, he watched the ball coming through all the way, and he's managed to get a good right foot, and he's, you know, he's cleared it. And like you said, thankfully to us, the striker in front of goal didn't try and make an effort for it, and Stuart was able to clear it.
And then it was 2-0 on 38. And this is what we're talking about, maybe the high press coming into it, because Forfar were trying to play with the back. And, you know, I think it was Joe McKee's put a bit of pressure on the midfielder. It was a shorter pass anyway, I think it was. And it's gone to McCarthy. McCarthy's then played it into McAllister, and McAllister's flicked it around the corner for Conor O'Keefe. And he knows exactly what he wants to do. He's running right onto it. And he's found it at the top corner with his right foot again. Brilliant goal again for O'Keefe. Just the top ends or anything like that. It's just another one for the highlight reel for him.
Again, but weren't they surprised with that sort of effort from Lamar? No. We'd be more surprised if he didn't get it on target. Yeah, beautiful finish. And that, as you said, it all came for good press. And I think the defender at the time, we mentioned it on Saturday, he didn't really want to play that pass, but nothing else really on. And again, we're marking, we're men, you know, it's a high line that we've got for the back with Jason Ryan pushing up, where fullbacks are slightly in the midfield, pushing high up as well. And it was a shorter pass, granted, but that was enforced. We forced the pressure for the Forfar defender. He didn't want to play it. And yeah, good ball through at Connor. Beautiful finish. And it's one of them, you could look at it and go, oh, he'll never be able to do that again. But looking at what he's done in the last 14, 15 months, as you said, it's another goal to add to his highlights reel in what is a very impressive portfolio that he's got of goals just now.
And I don't think the highlights sort of does it justice, because we were, as I said, we were at the opposite side and we were right behind it. And you actually, because of the angle we got, you see there's a bit more movement on it. It starts quite wide and it gets a bit of a dip on it. And, you know, as soon as it sort of leaves his fit, you can, it's going to be a goal.
Ah, there was a wee bit of murmurings in the Forfar fans to our right-hand side from that goal went in. But I think if you look back, as you said, from the angle we were at, it's taken a fair curl. I don't think McCallum's at fault at all to try and save that. I don't think any keeper saving it. It's not good an effort. And again, a wee bit like the first team, they set it so early. The goalkeeper's probably not expecting him to take a shot there. He's probably expecting a touch or an inside touch to come inside. But no, a really, really good finish by Conor O'Keefe.
And then there was another save for McKenzie for a free kick. Pretty comfortable header. It was easily saved. And Forfar really offered pretty much not much at all, really, first half, other than those two efforts, comfortable saves for McKenzie. A lot of the ball, but without really dealing much with it. Always thought the defence was pretty comfortable.
Yeah, oh no, I agree. I think, like we said, they had a lot of the ball first half, didn't really do nothing with it. It was all side-to-side passes or back to their two centre-backs. So I was, again, looking for a pass that went into midfield, but again, just side-to-side. And I think defence was never really tested at any point. And the only other thing that I can think of that really hit was a free kick on the edge of the box, and that again didn't come to nothing. So yeah, other than that, I thought we were, you know, comfortably in command at 2-0 going into the break.
And then second half again, Conor O'Keefe was finding a lot of joy doing that left hand side. He had the beating of their right back all day, and it was a good source of chances for us coming down that left hand side. And early on in the second half, he had to beat him on again, got to the byline, and again another cutback. It's not just a cross, he's not just pinging across in an area. He's actually finding folk with these crosses as well. And this time we found McCarthy on the edge of the 18 yard box. But he didn't hit the target with this one. And it just shows you, you know, the attacking threat that Conor O'Keefe can bring. Because as I said, he's finding these crosses, but it's not just in an area, he's finding a Peterhead shirt.
He was without ball all day. I think anything that went doing Conor O'Keefe's side, he was getting joy with. As you said, he'd have beaten the defender for the first minute of the game. And yeah, the crosses are accurate crosses. They're not just swung into an area and hoping for the best. He's actually looking for somebody. And I think the one for Andy McCarthy was really, really good, because he's seen the run at Andy coming for deep, and it's on the edge of the box. I'm being critical, I think Andy could maybe have taken a touch. I think he had a wee bit of time that he maybe didn't realise. But yeah, he's put it over the bar. But the cross and the beating that Jinky hit of the defender all day was a source of joy.
To be fair, if the 4-4 they came out the second half, I think obviously we've got a bit of a roasting at half time, I think, for manager Ray McKinnon, because they really sort of came out all guns blazing, and there was a spell, sort of 20-minute spell that they had. They were really putting us under the cosh. There was a save for McKenzie. I thought it was a double save initially. I haven't seen it again. It was a save and then blocks by the defence. I think that was emphasising the drive and the determination by the defenders to try and keep the scoreline at zero for the opposition, and you know, throwing themselves at these balls.
Yeah, we've commended it all season so far. Their determination to try and keep a clean sheet on the back of what was a horrendous season last year with very few clean sheets. And I think that obviously they take a lot of pride in trying to keep the ball out the back of the net, and you can see their determination, especially during that spell where Forfar really put us under a huge bit of pressure, and they were determined to try and keep a clean sheet, but alas, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, and they did get half the deficit just before the hour. Josh Skelly with the header. I think if you look at this one, I think Ryan Strachan might be look at this one and be a little bit disappointed. Skelly's found space in between two defenders, and I just think Ryan's misjudged the flight of the ball, and he's and Skelly's managed to take a touch and then and fire it in. And I think if you look at the highlights again, you'll see the sort of disappointment on Ryan's face, because I think he's realised that he's misjudged it.
Yeah, possibly. I think with the wind, the driving wind and the rain, difficult enough when a ball like that comes across, it just takes one gust and you've lost the ball in the air, and you know it's fallen there who we think Ryan would have been marking. And yeah, you can see his disappointment. He maybe feels that he's at partial fault for it. Obviously, he's lost the clean sheet as well. As a unit, they'll be disappointed. But the character that they showed from then on in, I thought was brilliant.
I've looked at it again, and I was sort of looking at myself, thinking to myself, could that have been one that McKenzie could have came for? You know, he's in the 6-yard box when he scored. Maybe he's gotten the shout for Ryan. I don't know, but I think you're looking at your keeper to be a bit more stronger and just come out and collect those. That would have sort of relieved the pressure a little bit.
Possibly, like I said, I think with the wind as well and the driving rain, I think he maybe just thought twice of it. But I think there was a couple of minutes before that, I remember he fumbled it at two crosses as well. Just wonder whether that was playing in his mind, that if he came for it and he misjudged it, or he fumbled it, or he didn't get a proper contact on it, would that have actually done more damage than good? And yeah, one of them maybe played in his mind when that ball came in. But like I said, I think the character after they conceded the goal was really good.
Well, actually, the spells came after they had scored. So that maybe that had played on his mind, because he didn't come for the one where they did score. He then felt as though he needed to come for the one where he spelt. And actually, it looked as though it was a pretty comfortable catch, and he just drops the bar. Fortunately, it doesn't drop to a 4-4 player straight away, and it goes to their right back, who is a squaff with his left foot, and it goes high, wide and handsome. But that was, I think that was at the sort of peak of Forfar being on top, and we really were riding a storm on the pitch and off the pitch.
Oh, aye, we, so you say we weathered a storm, that 10-15 minutes, because I think they had numerous corners as well. They were just putting the ball in the box, and you said we kind of get out within half. And even that out ball at Junkie in the wing, it just wasn't happening for us during that period. But the resolution that the guy showed was really good.
And once we did weather that storm, we were back on top again. O'Keefe had a shot for the corner of the 18-yard box. And you've got to say, he's got to hit the target for there. given how well he normally scores. But it was, I think it maybe just clipped the top of the crossbar. It went just over, and then Hamish Ritchie, by that time he'd come on, and Danny Strachan out as well. Both of them had efforts fair range, so you know we'd seen through that spell a 4-4 trying to get back into the game, and then we're back on top again.
Yeah, Ryan mentioned in his post-match that we sort of came through that 10-15 minutes spell of being under the cosh, and then we built on it, and then we had a couple of good chances afterwards. So it certainly doesn't sound like a smash-and-grab performance from my point of view with the efforts that we had, but yeah, I thought we were worthy winners of it.
So third goal, Kieran Shanks not giving up the ball at all. It looks as though it's one of those where the defenders just try to shepherd it out, but he hasn't given up, and he's managed to win the ball, cut it back to McAllister. McAllister is there and doing what McAllister does and tapping it home for about 10 yards and really killing off any lingering hopes that Forfar might have got and they were going to get a draw with this game.
Yeah, the third goal killed the game. Just on Shanks, we complimented him the other week with his two goals and assists, just as hard working on Saturday, but he got nae change for the referee over the decisions and fouls. I thought he was battered for puller at post, but he never gave up. And that's a prime example, as you said, defender tried to shepherd it out. He's battled with him. You know, the defender's a lot taller than him. He's managed to get his body in front. He's flipped it back to McAllister. You know, Rory's finished off, as all good strikers do.
Yeah, and that's him winning 199 chances of him scoring 200 against Dundee United. You just never know.
It would be quite fitting, would it? We mentioned that in the car on the way up against Dundee United, a team he could have signed for a full time. So, yeah, it is 199, depending on which report you read. Some people give me different numbers. The club have confirmed it is 199, so hopefully he gets his 200th on Saturday against Dundee United.
A couple of things I want to mention, a couple of incidents I want to pick up on. Rory McAllister being one. He went down with a head knock, and the referee didn't stop the game. It was plain to see that, you know, he had a cut of some kind because the blood was pouring out the corner, either the corner of the eye or the top of his eyebrow, and for some reason the referee hasn't stopped the game. So you know, you got to look at it and say, well, if he's down and he was obviously holding his head, what's happened to the protocols with the stopping the games for head injuries?
Yeah, referees this season have made a regular feature on the podcast, have they? But there is a protocol that if there is a head knock, the referee has to stop the game. I didn't think the referee was particularly good with injuries at all. No. I think Rory was doing for a period of time, Andy McCarthy was doing, and I think Forfar had a player down injured as well, and they seemed reluctant to allow the physios on. Things have maybe changed the rules, but I thought this when a player went down injured that you got the physios on straight away. If you felt they were feigning injury, you'd add on time at the end, and that's how you clawed it back, unless you're a medic. I don't know, but the head knock, he should have stopped the game immediately. And then we've seen the cut, and you can actually see the linesman telling Rory to, you know, like, quickly come off the park, and the physio said, well, no, he's stopping where he's at. It's a head knock, the game should have been stopped. There should be nae quibbling over it. Like I said, it's a head knock, you stop the game. We've seen past the, you know, how quick these things need treated. Okay, it was a cut, led to believe, going by the reports, he was also in A&E on Saturday night as well, regarding that. So, yeah, it could have been a lot more serious than what it was, but like I said, the referees, and you pointed out, there's a protocol, the game should have been stopped.
And it's needlessly sort of boiled over a little bit, because it's clear to say that he had a head knock, even when Rory went, basically ran over to the referee and said, look, I've got a cut. He still wouldn't have stopped the game until the ball was dead.
Yeah, which is wrong. As soon as there's blood, I mean, he should have noticed the head knock anyway. If a player's going to do hudding their head, you stop the game. But the fact that there was also visible blood coming from the side of the head and the eye, then the referee should have stopped the game. I thought the Kieran Shanks and Rory McAllister against our two centre-backs, I thought it was a good battle. I just felt the referee didn't manage the situation well enough. And then there was an incident with the goalkeeper towards the end, and that all boiled over because the referee hadn't got control of the game through the big decisions.
Andy McCarthy as well, another one who seemed to be getting the treatment, picked up a shoulder injury as well, and it looked as though every time he was going down, he was taking time to come up, and the natives were starting to get a little bit restless because thought he was kind of faking it a little bit. But it all comes down to the referee nae protecting the players enough.
Oh, absolutely. The referee is there to implement the rules, and they have a duty of care to make sure the players are safe as well. And I don't think
as players on both sides as well, we should say. We're not just saying Peterhead players. It's players from both sides.
Yeah, I think Forfar had a couple of injuries as well. I just think the referee, I don't know whether this is the new style of refereeing, because there has been a few Highland League referees that we've had in League 2. And yeah, fair dues, they've got to learn their trade. I get that, but you just want fair and balanced referees. That's not on like a penalty or a red card. It's just treating players for injuries, allowing the physios on, and just implementing the rules as they should be.
I just wonder if they know the game, or if they watch FITBAT, like just as a supporter or play it, you know, whether it be five sides or something like that, because they just seem to be so alien to the game, some of them.
I think referees nowadays, they're trying to, would it be a case of stamp their own style on the game and be, this is the sort of referee I am? Somebody many years ago told me that the sign of a good referee is a referee that you didn't speak about. And it's true, they allow the game to flow, they try and just implement the rules as it should be, but like I said, I think these guys have got to learn their trade, but it's difficult times coming through as a referee now. Because whether they get the support behind the scenes enough, I don't know. Is there at our level in League 2 somebody watching these referees doing their game and reporting back to them the good, the bad, and the improvements? I really don't care. I'd be interested to know, but I think if you were doing the report card for the referee on Saturday, it would be improvements are required.
And on McCarthy as well, that was his 100th appearance for the club as well, so it's a fantastic milestone for him. A player that I really didn't think was going to be here for that period of time, because he is so good, especially last season. You know, we talked about earlier on about you know, potentially moving on to a higher level and things like that, especially if they've got relegated. But a fantastic servant for the club and somebody that, you know, will be a miss if he's not playing.
Oh, absolutely. He's crucial the way we play. We mentioned that before. If Andy's playing well, we play well. He takes a tempo beautifully in the midfield. And yeah, when we got relegated with a difficult season, based on, you know, where Andy's based location-wise as well, it would have been very easy for him to say he fancies something different. He could certainly play at a higher level. I think he could easily play bottom half of the Championship, top of the League One. Really is a really good player. And, you know, whilst we've got him now, we should appreciate him.
Yeah, you've kind of touched on it already, but I want to mention the Ray McKinnon's comments in his post-match. It's really strange because I think a couple of weeks ago we mentioned Stevie Farrell's comments after the Dumbarton game, really sort of bemused by what he said and what he saw. McKinnon again, really sort of bemusing a take on the game. 3-1 flattered Peterhead was one quote. Another one was they didn't deserve to lose the game. I really don't think 3-1 flattered us, to be fair, and that's not just speaking with Peterhead glasses on or anything like that. I do think that other than that 15-minute, 20-minute period in the second half, Forfar really didn't offer anything at all.
No, I deny it. We've touched on it already. Jack Brown had a really good effort. Conor O'Keefe shot that went over the bar. With Danny Strachan with a long-range effort. Andy McCarthy's went over the bars. We had other chances other than the three goals, and good chances at that as well. I don't know whether McKinnon was just disappointed in the way his team started the game, didn't really do much in the first half, and whether he's just trying to deflect that and keep morale in his camp good, sort of trying to deflect things a wee bit. But I think, yeah, very harsh comments to say we didn't deserve it, and that it flattered us, because I really didn't think it did. And it was 3-1, possibly going on 4, but I think it would have been a different game if they'd scored a second when they were on top in the start of the second half. But like you said, other than that, I really don't think they caused us too much problems, to be honest.
Well, according to the stats, the possession was 50-50, so there was obviously no winners there. In terms of shots on target and off target, they had 12. It's 12 shots, 6 on target. We had 10 and 5 on target. So they maybe edged it slightly, but we were just a lot more ruthless in front of goal.
Yeah, and we've said it for years now, is goals wins you games. But of their shots, how many of them were from a distance? You know, that's the difference. You can have 40 shots in a game. If you're taking them off the halfway line, then you're not going to do much with it. So the stats can be slightly deceiving. I think we were more clinical in front of goal. We took our chances at the right time. And I do think it's maybe a deflection tactic on Ray McKinnon's behalf. I think we've seen it at Dundee United and other teams that he's been at. He maybe tries to deflect things that are a wee bitty. But no, I thought we were worthy winners on Saturday.
Well, according to the stats, as I said, they had 6 on target. So I'm racking my brain to try and think of 5 saves for McKenzie. Well, we know he had 2 comfortable saves for free kicks, for headers, we mentioned, possibly taking into account shots that were blocked as well, but there weren't a clear-cut chances.
No, I think the... Was it XG we call them these days? I'd be interested to see whether we've got that available to start somewhere, because I really don't think they... Other than that spell... like you said, it started the second half. I really don't think they caused Stuart McKenzie in the defence much problems at all.
I don't like that stats, by the way, that expected XG. Goals. I just, because I don't understand it, but just because it means nothing. It's the ones in the top corner if you're watching a game on TV. It's how many goals you've actually scored. Nay, expected goals. It's like I heard somebody. I think it was during the summertime or at some point during last season, I tweeted something about Bruno Fernandes and his pre-assists. But the hell is a pre-assist? Exactly. What is a pre-assist?
It's a pass. The pass before the pass. And you get an assist, yeah. And you get the pre. I mean, how far back do we take it?
Exactly.
I get these guys that they go so in-depth with their stats and try and eke out every ounce they can for a player at the highest level, but that just seems absolutely absurd.
It's ridiculous. Right, let's get some of your comments on Saturday's game. Then James Reid, strong performance. Every player did their bit to ensure a great result. Great away support as well. Jordan and Ryan have the team playing for the jerseys, something that has been missing for the last few years. Interesting he said there in the last few years, I would have obviously said last season, but he's maybe thinking going back even into Jim McAnally's time as well. David Reid, speaking as a neutral, very good in the first half. Second half showed resilience and it got sticky. But forwards show their quality, very streetwise when it matters. Neil Thompson, job well done, apart from a wee spell after they scored. We were in control, took our goals well, and again had to suffer a terrible referee. Also good to see a decent turnout from our support on what was a dismal day weather-wise. Luis Cardinal, to be honest, got excited when he, the ref, finally awarded a foul in Peterhead's favour. Shocking throughout. As with last week, the cream came to the top eventually, and despite being buttered about the pitch, our lads won, and the travelling support again sang Super Rory Mac. Blue Tuner on fire, worthy of the worth the hellish drive as they put on a show. Not always pretty, but football is all about digging in, and that's what they did. And that's a good shout, actually. It's, I think we praised the team for the style in which they've won. But it was never going to be pretty in conditions like that, and they've dug in, and they've got the 3 points and 3 goals.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But it's games like that that win you titles, when things are difficult for both sides, and you're able to come out on top. We mentioned it the other week at Dumbarton. It was that last 10, 15 minutes that we really turned the screw, and we managed to get the goal and come up the road with a win. It's these games when there's a lot of good sides in the division that you need to try and dig out wins, and when you're being it, you know, constantly, and it builds momentum, then you've got a fantastic platform to build on.
Graham McLean, great 3 points. Connor's second goal was a peach. Again, the referee's performance warrants a mention, but again, as a negative. Hopes were high until he blew his whistle, gave us nothing despite our guys being kicked all over the park. Even a bloody head wound for Rory McAllister didn't stop play. On a positive, didn't find his cards until the second half, but his report card must read can do better. Sean Beattie, brilliant performance, some great goals from Peterhead fans. Some great goals. More Peterhead fans than Forfar. What a great atmosphere. Scott Reid, another Reid. Brilliant performance from the team. Ref, not so much. Derek Bain, great result today and good performance. Not sure where the league are getting these referees from. The ref was, again, awful today. But hey-ho, a good 3 points will do nicely. Lee Esselwint building great momentum. And that's, again, another good point. You know, what's like 5 wins on the bounce now, 4 in the league. Having gone through that patch of, you know, back-to-back defeats against Stenny and Stranraer.
Yeah, well, they've bounced back brilliantly. The fact that we can call that a disappointing run of 2 games for within a one is night and day in last season. But that's the confidence that Jordan Ryan installed in the team. They mentioned it last summer about trying to, you know, get a work ethic in the team and breed confidence because it was at rock bottom, and you know they've done that in abundance.
Wayne Simpson, great performance today from the lads. Had to weather the storm at 2-1. For a while, but you get spells like that in games. The ref performance was horrendous. Cracking goals today, great build-up play for the second, and brilliant pressure from Shanks to win the ball and put it on a plate for Rory to seal the points. Next week, onto the Cup. Fans are absolutely superb today as well. Again, worth echoing that point about the fans. Peter Harris got a bit scrappy for a while, and a lot of hoof balls instead of working it up through the midfield. Those first 2 goals were crackers, and the supporters put the home support to shame, appreciated by the team at the end. And again, cracking comments about the sport, and it's worthy of praise, not just because of the weather, but you know, given what we went through last season, and the noise that they were making throughout the game as well.
Oh yeah, they never stopped, and I think, like I said right at the start, I think you've seen the team's appreciation of that. They went over right at the end, and you've seen Jason Brown, you know, absolutely delighted with the 3 points right in front of the fans as well. And yeah, credit to them. It was difficult driving conditions, the Gandoon and coming back, and yeah, not the easiest of grounds either, with the swirling wind at, you know, either behind both goals. So yeah, terrific turnout.
Right, Pie Watch. What was your take on the 4-4 pie?
Well, we can only have pies before the game because they ran out of everything come half time, as we were told by the gents in front of us, and run out of every pie and every hot drink you could think of. Was not overly impressed with it. It was basically like your pies that you put in the oven. It was a soggy pie as well. It didn't really have much pastry about it. No, it certainly wasn't rated highly by myself.
No, I think the pie kind of matched the 4-4's performance. It wasn't a great at all. It was too much like that sort of gelatin kind of stuff in it, and it wasn't enough meat in it. Now we've seen other pies already this season that they've got, you know, proper chunks of meat in it or proper mince in it, but no, really, really disappointing. And then as you said, the guy a couple of rows in front of us come back and he says, "Oh, nae braddies. No sausage rolls, no pies, no coffee, there's literally nothing left in the bloody tin," which I guess maybe shows how big the attendance was. They weren't expecting it to be, or they were just, that's maybe how they normally roll and they run out of stuff all the time.
Well, quite possibly. That kind of chap certainly wasn't impressing. By the way, this was only, 5-10 minutes before half-time, so it wasn't actually at half-time that he left to go and get it. The game was still on, so it was before half-time that he'd run out of everything. But yeah, certainly we didn't rate the pies that highly.
And there was a few leaks in the stand as well, trying to find a seat that wasn't weak. But even in the stand opposite as well, you could see for the leaks was as well. So yeah, they've a few issues doing it at Station Park, I think.
And we've got a few issues on the park as well, a few leaks at the back. But yeah, delighted that we came along with 3 points, although it wasn't a great pie.
Right, so that is quarter one over and dusted with. We've now played everybody. We've ended the quarter, played 9-1-7, drawn 1, lost 2. That doesn't calculate. 6, sorry. I've given myself an extra win there. No, so it's 1-6, drawn 1, lost 2.
I'd
not
like to do that, just give it wins to ourselves.
Well, technically speaking, we should have beat Stenhouse Muir, I think that's what we fit with. So we've got 19 points. It's our best start since 2018-19 season, where we picked up 22 points. And as you'll recall, we went on and won League 2 that season as well. So perhaps a good omen there. We've now played every team. Is there anybody there that you fear, anybody that we should be worried about next time we play them?
No, I think we should fear anybody. I think we've said it numerous times, so I think we're a really good team, and it's people on the outside that are maybe now taking notice of that. I think we've dug in games that we've had to. I think we've been clinical at times. I think if you'd said to Jordan and Ryan at the start of the season, you'd have 19 points after the first quarter of fixtures, you know, they'd have bitten your hand off. I think we've mentioned before that it's a sort of division that everybody can beat everybody. There'll be a lot of draws, a lot of teams taking points off each other and getting these narrow wins, i.e. the Dumbarton game a couple of weeks back, prime example of that. I think the players can be delighted with our start. Something really now we've got a strong foundation to go and build on. And with the fans coming back into Balmoor and being noisy on the road as well, I think we've given ourselves a fantastic opportunity.
And if you sort of continue on with that sort of form, 19 points every quarter, I think the target would be about 75 points, which is just about the sort of average, or maybe just over the average. And we've won it previously with 76 points and 79 points. So, you know, if you keep on the vein of the 19 points, we'll pick up 76 points. So you're looking 6 or 7 wins per quarter would be the target.
See, I'm not sure if he's going to need that many points, but everybody taking points off each other, I think it might be a slightly lower target to win the league. But yeah, you're absolutely bang on. You've got to set that as your target of this is what we need as a bare minimum to win the league. And going for it, you know, Jordan and Ryan have never hidden away from it. That is their hopes, and their expectation is to come back at the first time of asking. It will be difficult, but we've put ourselves in a fantastic opportunity to do that. And it's just maintaining that as we go through the season.
I was just looking at it. The lowest that anybody's won League Two in the last 10 years, other than out with the COVID seasons, is 62 points, which, you know, is probably quite low. But there are times where teams have won it with 66 points or 71. So, you know, I think anywhere above 65. You'll be doing well, and as you said, you'll probably find that teams will be taking points off each other around the boot. But as long as we sort of plug away, we should be doing all right.
Yeah, no, I think it could be a slightly lower target. I think there'll be a cluster of teams in that playoff group, and I think that even might go down to the last day of the season in terms of who clinches certain spots. You know, but hopefully we'll have put ourselves in a really good opportunity to go up as champions. We are only, as I said, one quarter in, but like I said, we've given ourselves a really, really good opportunity to do that.
We've got the best goals scored so far with 18, which is obviously averaged into a game, and we've got the best defence as well, only conceded 6. So all these things are going in the right direction. Now it's a case of just keeping that momentum going.
Yeah, I think teams will now also take notice of this. I'm not saying that outside certain teams kind of really looked at us and thought that we were a threat. I think all the pre-season media expectation was that we would have a difficult season. But I just wonder now if teams will now be looking at Peterhead after the first quarter and going, actually, they are a team that's got a really good squad, a good balance to them, and difficult to play against. I think more and more teams, as the season goes on, will come to Balmoor and try and frustrate us and be difficult to break down. And that's up to us as a team to try and figure out the right plan and the solution, how to best go about it. But yeah, like I said a few times now, I think we've given ourselves a really good opportunity, and that's credit to the management staff, coaches and the players to be able to put us in that position.
I think one of the comments earlier on said that it was streetwise, as a streetwise win, but the squad is streetwise now, if you like. It's players that know this league, they know how to get ground wins out as well, and that's the difference.
Yeah, you can see by the recruitment that they've got in the summer that the players that they've seen in, Scott Ross, Joe McKee, Jordan Armstrong hasn't played many games for us, but again, he's been at this level, he's been around, he knows what it's about, taking a player like Rory McAllister back as well. Experienced guys, they came their job, they know what they have to do, and I think we're getting the rewards for it.
So, before we move on to the Dundee United game, a couple of questions and points have come in. Questions about Hamish Ritchie's contract is high on everybody's sort of agenda. So basically asking if there's any update. The update is there's no update really. Negotiations are still on the go. We're just it's a wait and see sort of situation. Looking for updates as well on Kieran Gibbons and Conor Duffy's injuries. We can do that. So basically, unfortunately, Kieran's had a bit of a relapse in his recovery. And they're looking to send him to a specialist to try and get it sorted out as quickly as possible. And Conor Duffy is due to get his pre-surgery meeting in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, that all means he's going to miss the rest of the season. But the club are hopeful that he will be back in time for the start of pre-season. So, unfortunate for Kieran Gibbons, really. We did see him the previous kind of couple of games, you know, doing, I guess, fitness tests and things like that in part of the squad. He wasn't there on Saturday, but that's the reason why his injury sort of flared up again.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be frustrated and disappointed as well. Obviously, coming in at summertime, probably really wanted to hit the ground running, and it's not quite worked out for him. But, you know, hopefully he'll get that that injury cleared up soon and be on the pitch for us.
He played with the friendly Dice, I think it was, in the pre-season and played pretty well, played 45 minutes. And there was no sort of an indication that he was carrying an injury or anything like that. But I think it's something that's the thought was okay, and it sort of flared up.
Yeah, it's one of them you'd maybe think it's okay until you do further tests and you sort of put them through the training program that the guys have got, and then you think that actually things aren't as where they'd want them to be. But I'm sure they'll take the appropriate care over him, you know, another couple of weeks just to make sure he's fully fit and then get him in the squad ready to go.
So Dundee United on Saturday night under the lights at Balmoor for the SPFL Trust Trophy fourth round game, live on TV as well. So this should garner a lot of attention, and rightly so. Probably the draw of the round as well, as we said when the draw was made. So this could be a cracking game. Second time we've played Dundee United this season already. Having played them in the League Cup, which was ended up with a 3-0 loss. I think a lot has changed since then for us in particular. You know, obviously looking maybe at the League Cup as a glorified friendlies at that stage. But yeah, I think this could be a decent game. How do you see this one going?
I think it's a game where their guys are in full confidence with. As we said, they're on a fantastic run. I think it will gather a bit of attention over the week, as you said. I think it'll be one that they'll really want to, you know, cap off by getting through in the game. And I don't think Dundee United will actually be fancying it that much. I can that they're doing well in the Championship, but, you know, coming to Balmoor Saturday night on TV, there's a reason why it's on TV. They're hoping for a cup upset, League Two side beating a Championship side. You know, and you just wonder how these sort of things play out, even from a manager's point of view. Jim Goodwin had a really, really horrid time with Darvel beating Aberdeen back in January. Does that sort of thing play in his mind going into a cup game with a lower league side? All these things can play a factor, as you said, under the lights as well, a Saturday night at Balmoor. Be a really good crowd as well, and it's one I'm really looking forward to.
Well, if you recall, at the start of the season, they lost their first two games in the League Cup, and you know, headed into that Peterhead game, there was a worry that if he lost that game, or certainly didn't win that game, he could have been out of a job already. However, since then, they've gone 11 unbeaten in all competitions, and including playing eight in the league and winning five and drawing three, so they're unbeaten in the league. So, you know, whatever happened in the early stages of the season, they seem to have gotten over that.
Yeah, Goodwin seems to have gotten themselves sorted at Tannadice for this season, but cup games are completely different, as you know, to the league games. But by the same token, they'll be in full confidence as well, as you said, 11 unbeaten. It'll be a completely different Dundee United side that we're playing now than when we did you know, back in early July, middle of July, something like that, when we lost 3-0 down there. But I think both teams will be looking forward to it, but I think both teams will feel they've got a really good opportunity of going through in the tie as well, and I think it'll make for a really entertaining game.
Yeah, it's they don't concede very often either. They've got 7 clean sheets in that 11 games as well, so it's two teams that are defensively really good, but you know, going forward as well, offering a threat. So it should be an entertaining game. First time that Dundee United have played at Balmour as well, because all previous three games have been at Tannadice. It's 2-1 to Dundee United at the minute. 2 wins to them, 1 to us. Could we make it 2-2? You never know.
What I do think on Saturday is, I think it's so cliche, but the first goal in this game will be really, really big, and the timing of it as well. I think if Dundee United get an early goal, not that the heads will go down or anything, but you know, it might just make it a wee bit of a longer evening. But I certainly think if we can get the first goal at any point in the game, and really sort of put the pressure under Goodwin and Dundee United, then you never know if it could happen. But like I said, it's a game I'm really looking forward to.
And one of those as well, the longer it goes at 0-0, the more frustration maybe or tension will come from the United supporters as well. That might just ramp things up a little bit. It also they may look at this as a game, but if they lose the game, so be it. Because it's the SPFL Trust, obviously their bread and butter, will be trying to get back into the Premiership next season as well. So perhaps maybe it's just a case of, well, if we get through, so be it. But it's about getting through unscathed.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. There might be a slight rotation by Goodwin as well. It's been probably a competition at the start of the season that they probably weren't overly fussed about. I think the Scottish Cup, League Cup, and also the Championship itself is their absolute pinnacle of their season. That's what they want to get back to the Premiership. So this game might just be a token gesture in terms of they'll maybe rotate the squad. And again, that would give us an even better chance. To us, it's a really good opportunity to go through if they didn't play a full-strength team. But these are the sort of game players want to play a good Dundee United side and showcase what they can do. It's on television, and they want to give a good spectacle of themselves.
And you're looking at our sort of lineup. Could it be four games in a row without an unchanged lineup? Well, McAllister should be okay for Saturday. It's Andy McCarthy who's going to be the worry. He's going to be assessed through the week. I think he'll be the only doubt. But if he is a doubt and if he is missing, he's going to be a big loss, particularly in a game like this.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said that a few moments ago, I think he's crucial to the way we play. But knowing the type of player that Andy McCarthy is, he will not want to be missing this game against a really good Dundee United side. He'll want to be playing, and I'm sure, you know, Ryan and Jordan will give him to the very last minute to be available. So he's able to play probably a late call Saturday, mid-morning or afternoon, whatever it is to be. He'll want to play, he'll be desperate to play in it. And I think when you've got a player like Andy McCarthy, he's got to play if he's fit enough.
And the thing is, we've got, I think that's Stenny the following week away for him. So and obviously that's, you know, top at first and third as it is at the minute, because obviously they didn't play on Saturday. So Ryan Jordan might look and say, well, do we need a three-quarter fit on McCarthy for the Dundee United game, or do we keep him out of this one and make sure he's fully fit for the Stenny game?
Yeah, a wee bit like Dundee United. The Trophy Trust Cup to us, it's a welcome bonus in terms of finance and getting through the next round. But, you know, somebody said on Saturday, is the Dundee United game now become a distraction based on how good a form that we're in? And it's a good point, because the Dundee United game might come at the wrong time for us in terms of you want to keep that momentum going in the league. And yeah, a three-quarter fit Andy McCarthy for Dundee United might not really suit us and prefer him for the week after. And that's the decision for Ryan and Jordan to make, but they've got capable replacements in the squad. I do think you're a much better team with Andy in it, and if he's not to play, then you keep him for a fully fit Stenhousemuir game.
Okay, now joining me on the Blue Tune podcast to get his take on Saturday's game is Dundee United fan Aaron Walker. Aaron, welcome to the Blue Tune podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Things okay for a Dundee United supporter these days, considering what happened at the end of last season?
We're getting there this season, yeah. We're just recovering from the traumatic season that last year was. you know, anything other than a win this season's, you know, a lot of booing coming from that, you know, because especially with how the season started, a lot of discontent. But yeah, we're getting there now, we're playing good football, and fans are starting to get behind the club again.
Yeah, you mentioned the start of the season, obviously losing the two opening games in the League Cup. I think there was even word that if you lost the game or even sort of dropped points against against us in the third one, that Jim Goodwin might be the first one to get the dunk for the season. Were things that bad at that stage?
No, I mean, obviously those, again, I think a lot of it came from last season. There was a new squad that hadn't yet sort of clicked yet. There was a lot of that. You could see that on the pitch. You know, Goodwin wants to build it from the back. We didn't do that last year. We didn't do anything last year, really. So this new system was all new to the players. You could see there was a lot of difficulty with that early on. And, yeah, there was a lot of concern about how long Goodwin was going to last at first. Maybe with the benefit of hindsight, that was a bit, you know, premature from a lot of us. But, yeah, the win against you earlier on was really relieving. You could see it from the players, especially from the fans as well. It was just a massive relief to get a win. I think it was the first win since the end of April when we beat you. So it was getting one win under the belt, and since then we've just really kicked on.
Yeah, I think you're unbeaten in 11 in all competitions since then. So what has been the difference then? Is it just a case that everybody's sort of clicked now?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the 3-0 against you, there was two penalties, but we played good football that game. And, you know, just, this is, you know, we had a win against Falkirk in the following game, more of a scrappy win. It was, you know, one of a team effort, you know, really just sticking together. And then, you know, we got the 4-0 against Arbroath, you know, and then the other big scorelines, you know, beating good teams like Irgionians, who you'll know from last season, are no pushovers. Yeah, the difference has really been Goodwin. As though he was in last season, you saw that then. There was a lot more fight in the team. He really brings that. And the new system is working. It's slow building up from the back, but it's effective, as you see with the league standings at the moment.
Yeah,
we're playing really decent football, and it's really just, it's good to watch.
And in both ends, you're scoring a lot of goals, but at the other end as well, not conceding, which is everything you really want as a supporter, I guess.
Yeah, especially after last season where we didn't score any goals and conceded loads of goals. So, you know, it's quite a sort of reversal of what we're used to, and it's really relieving. You know, good signings been made. You know, like Louis Mole up front, we've got 9 goal involvements already this season. You know, new goalkeeper and Jack Walton playing really, really well. And as I say, it's just night and day from last season.
And there's a few players in the squad that obviously got connections with Peterhead as well. One in particular, obviously, Kieran Freeman. We really love him as a player up at Peterhead. How's his progression been in the last year and a half?
Well, when he first came in, I think he came in 2021 is when I remember him signing. He started off really well, looked like a really good player. For scored a goal against Hibs away in a 3-0 win. Mm-hmm. You know, looked like a really good player, but I think last season's really hit his confidence badly. Scored a few goals here and there, but he doesn't look confident anymore. He's lost that confidence at the back. He played again in the 2-1 loss against Partick Thistle in the League Cup, and he was one of the worst players at the park. And it's a shame, because I'm a fan of Freeman. I liked him when he first came in. And it's one of those things where we're not sure if there is a player there. I'm sure of that, because I don't think you can just drop off like that. Mm-hmm. You know, lose it. But yeah, it's a real shame, but it's the Challenge Cup. You never know; you might get some minutes. It might be good for him to play against a team lower down in the divisions.
Is it a case maybe he needs another loan spell, maybe just to get that game time first of all, and build up that confidence again?
Yeah, he's also suffering from the fact that we don't have any other right backs. He kind of has to stay for the fact of squad depth. You know, you know it's like when you're sitting on the bench and you just get thrown in for, you know, a game. Especially, as I say, earlier games in the season, the fans, there was a lot of expectation. That will have been a lot of pressure for the guy who, again, his performance levels weren't there last season. It's a lot of pressure for him, but, you know, you feel bad for him, but I'm sure he'll come good.
Yeah, and Obviously, you've got plenty of players within the squad as well. You mentioned Louis Malt, you've got Glenn Middleton, Craig Sibbald as well. Guys that sort of know this level, know this league in the Championship. Are they guys you would expect to help you push on?
Yeah, I mean, Craig Sibbald in particular, he does all the dirty work in the midfield. He's great to watch. He was one of the only players last season that fans were collectively happy with. which perhaps isn't saying much, but yeah, he's one of those players to watch. Glenn Middleton, another 50-50 player, looking good recently. What he's good at is just getting down the line, getting a ball in the box, none of the fancy stuff. One of the players that I think particularly, that maybe people haven't heard of, is Kai Fotheringham. He's looked really dangerous when he's been in the team. A lot of pace on him, good dribbler with the ball. He could cause problems, and especially with a Challenge Cup game, you know, you might see him over Glenn Middleton on the left.
And so what do you expect on the facet of this game then? First time at Dundee United have played it at Balmoor. It's a TV game, it's live on BBC Alba. Expectations, I guess, will be for Dundee United to come up and almost steamroll on this, but do you think see it going that way?
Well, you know, all due respect to Peterhead, but it's a game we should win. You know, it just depends. I mean, I'm expecting a lot of first team players to start that game, particularly Louis Malt, with having an injury recently. You want to get some minutes in, and it's a good chance to do so in this competition. But it'll be a good mix of young players and senior players in the squad, and I'd expect to win from the game. But obviously, you know, Peterhead are no pushovers. You've seen the defensive record you've got in the league just now. It's like 6 goals in what, 9 games or something like that in the league. Yeah, you're looking really good at the back. And again, with that 3-0 win in the League Cup, it took 2 penalties to get the 3-0. Even though we've clicked since then, you've proven that it's difficult to score goals against us. So, yeah, I would expect to win, but I'm not expecting an absolute... I'm not expecting to be pushovers in this game at all.
Is it a competition that you just want to win, or is your sort of eggs in one basket the league? Because you're out of the League Cup pretty early, is it something you feel as though you should go on and win?
Well, look, we want to win every competition we're in, but you know, it's like me personally, I want to see us do well in every competition we're in. I want to see us win everything. However, I want to get promoted more than anything. I want that attention to be on. That's always going to be it. So, I mean, there's not much. I don't expect many United fans going through for it because it's not a big sort of concern for us.
Yeah,
our focus is up in the league. But again, in an ideal world, we'll win this and the league.
And do you think it's, if the game is 50-50, if it's nil-nil for large periods of the time, do you think that the tension will be ramped up a little bit within the supporters that are there, or that you feel as though maybe the players will start feeling the pressure a little bit?
Well, we've seen this season, I think we've started a lot of games slowly and grown into it. It was a 3-0 win against Ayr, for example. The first half it was 0-0. We won the game 3-0, you know, 4-1 against Queen's Park, went 1-0 down 1 minute in, and we went on to, so we're used to going down or not scoring goals early on and just pushing on. But there won't be a lot of pressure on the players for this game, but again, it's a competition everyone wants to do well, and it's for the sake of experience for some of the younger guys as well. We had 2 debutants in the last round, so they'll be looking at it thinking they can get a few minutes as well.
You look at Peterhead because they're a League Two side, and I think you should be winning it. But you look at the form that we're in. We're unbeaten in 5 new in all competitions, scoring goals, but keeping it tight at the back as well. There is a potential that it could be a banana skin for you.
Absolutely. Again, last season's not out of our memories. We're not taking any game for granted. And as I say, you know, you're keeping it tight at the back, you're playing good football, and it'll be a good test for us. It's one of those games where they can experiment with some of the younger guys, get them some minutes, and it's a confidence builder as well for us, I think. I think that's the most important thing. That's the way the squad will be looking at it. It's a game that they can just enjoy, try and get, again, younger guys will be looking at that thinking they can prove themselves and get some minutes in the league if they play well in this. So, it'll be a potential banana skin, but it won't be a... If we lose the game, it's not going to be a massive thing for us.
The advantage is, of course, that although Dundee United's first trip up to Balmoor, Jim Goodwin was there last season, with his previous club, Aberdeen, in the League Cup. And so I think he'll maybe be able to pass on kind of the experiences of maybe playing on a smaller pitch and what to expect from the crowd on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Goodwin's got that scrap about him. He's brought that into the squad, and it's something that we're loving. He's not had a good record against teams lower in the division, obviously with Spartans and obviously the bad one last season in the Scottish Cup. Mm-hmm. But the smaller pitch is something that it'll be interesting to see how we deal with, because we do like passing the ball back and forth along the back line. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how we deal with that, especially when we don't like pressure on us, we don't like teams pressing us. So that is one thing. It'll be interesting to see how we deal with that, the smaller pitch, and it'll be something that we'll be getting across to the players.
Finally then, what do you think the scoreline is going to be in the end?
Well, with United it could be anything, but I'd expect a 3-0 victory, I think. Another one.
3-0, I take it you're going for a 3-0 done United then, not a 3-0 Peter.
Yes, that's all I'm saying. However, I ask that you don't clip this and put it up on social media after the game, please.
We'll play it on a loop after the game. Right, Aaron, thanks very much for coming on. Appreciate your time. Hopefully it is a decent game. I think it's set up to be a decent game, so hopefully it's everybody goes well in today. But thanks very much for your time and your comments. I really appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
And that is it for this week's episode. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Dundee United fan Aaron Walker for joining me to preview Saturday's game, and of course to Martin Smith for his insight as always. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.